Chairman, my name is Brendan Burgess and I have four questions for you. One, when will you be announcing the redress scheme for the 5,900 prevailing rate customers whose contracts you broke? Two, will you be applying the full central bank redress scheme to these customers and putting them on a tracker mortgage for the remainder of the mortgage term? Three, how many customers have lodged High Court proceedings on the prevailing rate issue? And four, did any of the non-executive directors of AIB challenge the groupthink on the prevailing rate issue? I mean, by way of background, these customers had a mortgage contract which stated that at the end of their fixed rate period, they could choose between a fixed rate, a standard variable rate, and a tracker rate at the then prevailing rates. When their fixed rates ended, AIB did not offer these customers the prevailing rates as they were contractually obliged to do. AIB's steadfast refusal to honour the terms of their contract was based on the most flawed arguments, and I just outlined some of these flawed arguments. The first argument, the contract said that the borrower would have a choice of a tracker mortgage, but it didn't say that AIB had to offer them a tracker mortgage. The second argument, we no longer had a prevailing rate because we no longer offer tracker rates to new customers. Even though the mortgage contract did not define prevailing rate at all, never mind defining it as the rate on offer to new customers, AIB claimed that this is what was meant by the contract. The third argument, this was not a breach of contract. This was a service failure. We did nothing much wrong. A service failure, Chairman, is where the bank makes a mistake and takes 3 months to resolve it. The failure to offer a prevailing rate according to the contract was not just a service failure. It was, as the Ombudsman ruled, a breach of a fundamental term of the contract. The fourth argument, this failure to offer the customer's tracker mortgage did not cause the customer to lose anything because the prevailing tracker rate would have been up to 7% higher than the SVR or the fixed rates. And I note that Colin Hunt this morning has repeated this completely flawed argument. Up until 2008, when AIB did offer tracker mortgage to customers rolling off fixed rates, the tracker rate was set at or below the standard variable rate. But now, 10 years later, you try claiming that that if they had been offered a tracker rate, it would have been 7% higher. I find it extraordinary that the non-executive directors who we're being asked to re-elect today, who are paid fees of between €100,000 a year and €365,000 a year, did not point out how flawed these arguments were. I mean, if you had a mock board of transition year students, they would have seen the flaws in these arguments immediately. When this problem was uncovered back in 2015, you should have admitted the mistake and redressed those customers. Instead of doing the right thing, you fought this all the way. You dismissed all the complaints from customers on the issue. You dismissed me when I raised it at every AGM for the last 4 years. You dismissed the central bank when they tried to get you to do the right thing. You dismissed the Oireachtas Finance Committee, making a show of yourselves, arguing about the difference between a breach of contract and a service failure. But you could not dismiss the Ombudsman. This is where you came a cropper. Last month, the Ombudsman told you that you'd committed a breach of the fundamental terms of the contract and told you to write down the mortgages by 12%. If you had faced up to this problem in 2015, you would have reduced the cost to the AIB shareholders and you would have reduced the damage to AIB's reputation. Admitting a mistake early and fixing it costs a lot less. It's a sign of strength. Being forced to do the right thing by the Ombudsman or by the High Court is a sign of